Everyone, like welcome each and everyone into our 11 o'clock service. I'm thankful and pray that you got a blessing already this morning in your Sunday school class, and come looking for a blessing, and God will give it to you. Come praying about it, praying about the service today here this morning. So we are thankful to be here. First thing I'm going to do, I got two or three more announcements here. I want to get them out of my way so I don't forget them, because I will. Susie gave me this. She said, today is National Day of Prayer in churches across America for Christians to pray for our president and leaders. And also to Joy Bell's parents, your child should be bringing home a letter home today from Miss Susie. Okay. Now, there are vacation Bible school song packets and CDs for the kids who will be attending in the foyer. Please sign out of the packet and help your child learn these songs for vacation Bible school. And also on that note, they still need help. Talk with Jennifer. She runs it up. She needs people, volunteers, and help for that. So I got a card here that was sent to us. It says, thank you so very much for coming to our church to share your ministry of handbells. You are very gifted with talent, and our hearts felt the love of Jesus in your songs. Please let Gold Town know that they should be very proud of a group of young people who represents them so well. May God continue to bless you. We hope you will come back soon. So that's from Ripley Church of Christ right there. So, now, I think, take up offering. These guys get tired standing. Kip, you asked a prayer for the offering. Amen. Anybody got a testimony after that? We're going to let these puppets go in a minute, and y'all just see what I see up here this morning. All these little kids sitting up here on this front row. Well, what makes me so proud, a lot of them right here, I seen their parents from that age when they was in church doing stuff. So I don't know what makes me older or what, but I'm glad that they still bring their kids to church, try to bring them up right. So we're thankful for that. And thankful for God, what does for me. You know, I come home yesterday about 11 o'clock. Me and James been out Ripley. I come home, I was sick of the dog. Felt awful. So I just hit the couch about 11 o'clock yesterday. I don't know where you get too much sleep or not, but I got up at 6 o'clock this morning. So I don't know, about 19 hours I laid in there. Now, my back's hurting today, but I know it's a reason I laid around too much. But I do feel a lot better today, and I'm thankful for that. So nothing else, we're going to turn these puppets loose. Listen, Jim.
Welcome to another puppet performance. The name of the puppets, if you've never seen them before, the ministry is called the Lord's Hands Puppet Ministry, and it started back in the 90s, and it was named during a contest, and the name selected was the Lord's Hands, and it was given to us by Greg Kuntz. The new puppeteers that we have joining today is Elizabeth Kuntz, and she's a sophomore, attends at Ripley High School. This will be her first performance with the puppets before a live audience. And she joins our puppet group, which includes Zachary Hill, who will be leaving us to attend college in the fall at Fairmont. And Jordan Pritt, who has just received a job and started working in the last week at Kanawha Valley Maintenance, he's still with us. And Spencer Sable, who is a senior in high school this year. I have also a new assistant, Michelle Kuntz. This will be her first time up in the crow's nest helping Barry. And I thank you, Barry, for coming early and helping us with this early practice. I have a current assistant named Shannon Hill, which is Zach's mom. And she's a very busy lady, has two kids in college, and another one's yet at home and very busy lady. So she will be with me as long as she can. I'm very thankful for all those who helped me in the past and have helped me now. It can't be done by one person, and it's really hard even with two people because there's a lot of things that goes on in puppet practice before presentation and also things that goes on behind the stage in helping the puppeteers. My past assistance over the years since the 90s has been Meredith Kuntz, Jessica Strickland, Tiffany Johnson, and Vicki Lilly. And also there had been other directors besides me, and it was Sue and Jamie Bailey. Now, if I've left anybody out, please forgive me because my memory don't work really good anymore. This is a new season starting in June. And we'd like to invite any adult or any teenager who would like to be part of the puppeteer team. We always need help, always need new members, and the more the merrier. We have practices the first three Sundays in each month, beginning at 5 o'clock in the evening, and we do not do holidays so that people can be with their families. So if you're interested in that, we're going to take the month of June off to give the kids a rest. And there's a lot of performances going on here with Bibles, Vacation Bible School, and there's vacations with families, different things going on in the month of June. So we're taking that month off as puppeteers, but we will start back up in July. If you're interested in being part of the puppet team, whether it's an adult or a teen, then please let us know sometime during the month of June so we can know how many people we'll be working with on the following month. All right, we're going to start. Now, this is a little unusual. Most of the time, I start the puppet program, and then it just flows till the end. But this time, we wanted it to be a little bit more like a regular service, and it gives the puppeteers the opportunity to switch off their puppets. So if someone is working four puppets you see now, the next song they'll be switched around. You won't know who they are, but they've been switched behind the scene. And that gives everybody an opportunity to try something new and different with each different song. So we got to give them a few minutes there, not necessarily minutes, but a few seconds, I'd say. for them to switch off in their position in their puppets for the next song. So if the Lord gives you an opportunity to testify, you want to say something during that time, please feel free to do so. At this time, we'll begin with our very first song, I Feel Like Traveling On.
My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. No sin or death can enter there. I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on.
The narrow way is the road I'll take.
I feel like traveling on. No shortcuts or wrong turns I'll make. I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. The narrow way is the road I'll take. I feel like traveling on.
I have a road map in my hand.
I feel like traveling on.
God's word will guide me to that land.
I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. I have a roadmap in my hand. I feel like traveling on. The Lord has been so good to me. I feel like traveling on. Until that blessed home I see, I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. The Lord has been so good to me. I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. Until that blessed home I see.
Struck us kind of funny through the weeks that we've worked with this bunch. If you notice, there's two of the puppets that kind of resemble somebody in the audience. I'll just let you all figure out which ones are which, okay? But there's two that we have nicknames for because they look so much in resemblance to two members in our church. So you be thinking about that, and you can see me after church, and I'll tell you who it is. All right, are we ready for the second one? All right, the next one is called Daddy Sang Bass.
I remember when I was a lad, times were hard and things were bad. But there's a silver lining behind every cloud. Just poor people, that's all we were, trying to make a living out of blackland dirt. We'd get together in a family circle singing loud.
Daddy sang bass.
Mama sang tenor.
Me and little brother would join right in there, singing seems to help a troubled soul. One of these days, and it won't be long, I'll rejoin them in a song. I'm gonna join the family circle at the throne.
Mama would call in all of us. You could hear us singing for a country mile. Now little brother has done gone on, but I'll rejoin him in a song. We'll be together again up yonder in a little while.
Well, Daddy sang bass,
Mama sang tenor,
me and little brother would join right in there. Singing seems to help a troubled soul. One of these days, and it won't be long, I'll rejoin them in a song. I'm gonna join the family circle at the throne.
Well, Daddy sang bass,
Mama sang tenor,
me and little brother would join right in there. Singing seems to help a troubled soul. One of these days, and it won't be long, I'll rejoin them in a song. I'm gonna join the family circle at the throne. No, the circle won't be broken. By and by, Lord, by and by.
Daddy sang bass,
Mama sang tenor,
me and little brother will join right in there. In the sky, Lord, in the sky, join them.
Join them in the sky.
As I said earlier, we started puppets here at the church in the 90s, and I've had a lot of the young people that we have as adults now that were members of the puppet team. And at this moment, I would like for everyone who's worked with our puppets, either director, as assistant, or was a puppeteer, would you please stand for just a second? Let everyone see just how many people have been involved in this over the years. All right. All right. I'm going to see. Are you ready? Here we go. The next song is Just a Little Talk with Jesus.
I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. And then a little light from heaven filled my soul. It bathed my heart in love and wrote my name above. And just a little talk with Jesus made me whole.
Now let us
have a little talk with Jesus.
Let us
tell him all about our troubles.
He will
hear our faintest cry.
He will answer
by and by.
When you
feel a little prayer will turning,
and you know
a little fire is burning,
you will
find a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
It makes it right. Sometimes my path seems drear without a ray of cheer, and then a cloud of doubt may hide the light of day. Just a little talk with Jesus clears the way.
Now let us
have a little talk with Jesus.
Let us
tell him all about our troubles.
He will
hear our faintest cry,
and he will
answer by and by.
Now when you
feel a little prayer will turn it,
and you
know a little fire is burning,
you will
find a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
It makes it right.
May have doubts and fears, my eyes be filled with tears, but Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. I go to him in prayer, he knows my every care, and just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Now let us
have a little talk with Jesus, tell him all about troubles, you'll hear our faintest cry, he will answer by and by. When you feel a little prayer will turn, and you'll know the fire is burning, you'll find a little talk with Jesus,
just a little talk with Jesus.
My little talk with Jesus makes it right.
Makes it right. Oh,
it makes it right.
I know that there's a lot of humor in the with puppetry, but also there's a message, and I hope you paid attention real close to the messages in the songs. The first song, I Feel Like Traveling On. Sometimes we get discouraged and we don't know what to do, but if we're trusting in the Lord, we can just keep pressing forward. Even though we may have problems, health issues, whatever it is, we can count on Jesus and carry us through. The second one, Daddy Sang Bass. How many of us started with learning about Jesus as children growing up in our homes, and they brought us to church and we learned more about Jesus? And then the last one that they just sang, Just a Little Talk with Jesus, tells us that if we accept him in our hearts, he's there for us, whether it's day or night, any time of the day, we can call on him to help us through the problems that we may have, the situations that's in our country even today. They talk in our Sunday school this morning about how important it is that we pray for our leaders and pray for our nation. We have a lot of decisions that's going to be made, and it can be very detrimental as to where our country ends up being in the next few years. And so we need to pray constantly, every day, for our nation and our leaders, and really for our churches, because that's your ground roots, is your family and your churches. So we need to pray for them as well. The last song we're going to sing is He Said, and I think you're going to learn from it that it's important that we make our hearts right for Jesus. As someone said this morning, it takes more than just coming to church. It takes a real relationship between you and I and Jesus, that we might know him better and know and follow his Holy Spirit. He said.
Outskirts of town, you'd never call him a mob man or teacher. He was a shouter right down to the ground. He had a red letter King James Bible. It opened up to John 3:16. I first heard him at a summer revival. He rolled up his sleeves and he started to sing. Confess your sins. He said, you must be born again. He preached Jesus, crucified and risen from the dead. He said, you got to make it right. He said, you need to come tonight. The Spirit grew stronger with every single passage he read. Died a long time ago. He was preaching on the street when God called him. Now he's shouting up in heaven, I know. We're still moving in the right direction, and we're following the way that he led. We've got that old time preacher's conviction, and I still remember just what he said. What he said. Oh, he said, you must confess your sins.
Chris to get another song, congregational song, so that they can move the platform back to the center, and also the puppeteers can move some of the things out of the way.
Let's all stand, get your hymnal, turn to page 146, 146.
Once like a bird in prison I dwelled, no freedom from my sorrow I felt. But Jesus came and listened to me, and glory to God, He set me free. He set me free. He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. For glory to God, He set me free. Now I am climbing higher each day. Darkness of night has drifted away. My feet are planted on higher ground, and glory to God, I'm homeward bound. He set me free, He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. For glory to God, He set me free. Goodbye to sin and things that confound. Not of the world shall turn me around. Daily I'm working, I'm praying too, and glory to God, I'm going through. He set me free, He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. For glory to God, He set me free.
Jessica told me this week, she said that the puppets were going to be singing, and I asked her if they had a theme, and she said, well, it'll be four dummies up there moving their mouth. So I told her, I said, I'll fit right in then. But I did think about the songs that they did sing, and there was a theme. And I thought every theme of every message should be Jesus Christ. We can do a lot of study, we can go a lot of places, but the greatest thing that we can do is study and think about Jesus Christ. I'm going to do something a little different this morning. I'd like for you to turn to the book of John. The book of John. Anybody tell me what John is noted for? Or what it's called? Book of Love. The Beloved. He was one of the four what? Gospels. He wrote one of the four Gospels. But his Gospel is a little bit different than the others, in the fact that he was one of the inner circle of Christ. And so a lot of the disciples weren't with him every minute, but I thought of the times that he would take that inner circle and go someplace with them, go to pray or go whatever. So John got to see Christ maybe in a little different manner. But But I thought of John's message is for everyone. It's for all the world to come to know Jesus Christ. And this morning, I'm going to keep my message short. We're only going to cover 11 chapters. But I'm going to give you a little chance to participate this morning. In the first 11 chapters of the book of John, John recorded 7 miracles. Now, why is it important to record or talk about the miracles of Christ? Tells who he is. Tells not only who he is, but what he can do. And what he can do for each of us. I want you to go to chapter 2. And if you will, I'd like for you to tell me what miracle is in chapter 2. Some of you may already know it. Change the water to wine. Where did this take place? Took place at a wedding. At a wedding, it's very important that you have enough refreshments to cover everybody that's there. I recently attended a wedding that it was hot. And it's Pam's fault. But I thought after the wedding, we moved to the reception and they started passing out water, ice water. And I thought, wow, that's a great selection. But you know, I thought about this water here that Christ changed. This was his first miracle while he was here on earth that's recorded. And John recorded that, and they had run out of wine. And so they went in and they weren't sure what to do, but somebody knew, somebody that could do something. And who was that? That was Mary. That was Jesus' mother. She said, just tell him and he can take care of it. You know, that's what the mothers of our country ought to be doing. Is telling children, I know somebody who can take care of your problem. And that problem solver is Jesus Christ. But we have mothers today that don't even want their children. They protest when they think they're going to lose their right for abortion. But I thought here, she knew Jesus. She had raised him for over 30 years. She had been a part of his life. But here she told him. And in verse 5, it's pretty explicit of what she thought of her son. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And we need to realize that today. We need to be telling our children, whatever God tells you to do, just do it. Do it, and things will work out in your life. And I thought Jesus said, my time's not yet come. But he went right ahead and did it. Now, I'd never looked at this close before for some reason. What I'd looked at was the 6 water pots. And I thought, you know, to fill them with water, that would be a normal thing. But these water pots weren't drinking water pots. They were water pots that were used for the cleansing rituals that they had. If they washed your feet and you come in or whatever. And I thought, man, those water pots are dirty. Those water pots were filthy. And yet Christ said, fill them. And he took something that was dirty. He took something that was empty. And he took it and made it to something that was really a benefit to this situation. Now, if Pam had ran out of water and lemonade, we had lemonade and tea, everybody would have been gone before somebody had gotten back with some more. I say that because if you were there, you know what I mean. You had to go through the creek. You had to go back. It was back in the woods. He got married in the woods. But I thought of this. Christ took some dirty water pots. He took some dirty vessels. He cleansed them. And he made something wonderful of it. How does that tie to us? That's exactly what he did to us. He took an old dirty vessel. He cleaned it up. You know, a lot of people don't want to come to the Lord until they can get everything straightened out in their life. You'll never work. That never work. You bring it as you are. The song says, just as I am. Bring it to the Lord just like you are. Let him clean it up. Let him make the vessel. And then when they presented it, the one who was in charge of this wedding, he says, I don't understand. I don't understand. Normally, they serve the good wine first, and then as people drink too much, then they give them something that's not as good. He said, but in this case, you've saved the best for last. Isn't that what Christ is saving for us? The best for last. In this world, it's not going to get any better. He's told us in that. He said it would wax worse and worse. And we see that every day. But he's saving the best for last. When we get to go home with the Lord, he's saved the best for last for us. When he finished the communion that he had with the Last Supper, he said, I'll not drink this again with you again until we drink it in my Father's house, in our heavenly home. And so he's saving the best for last. Okay, that's number one. Mark that down, read it today. Read the second chapter, the first 11 verses of John, and you'll see the whole details of that dirty water pot that he made clean. I want you to go with me now to the fourth chapter of John. In the fourth chapter of John, we read about a lady that came to Jesus. It was a lady that didn't live a very good life. You say, why would Christ want to associate with a Samaritan woman? Why would he want to associate with people who were lost? There's one reason. He came into this world for one reason: to seek and to save that which was lost. So he went to them. He made a detour to go here. And it goes through, and that's not where the miracle takes place. But look in the last part of this, and somebody tell me what the miracle is I'm looking for here in chapter 4. Somebody said it? Healing the nobleman's son. The nobleman's son worked for the king of Capernaum. He was an official there. And he came to Jesus. He came to Jesus for one reason. His son was sick. He wasn't just sick, but the scripture says he was sick unto death. He was at the point of dying. So he came to Christ. In verse 43, it starts this one. And if you would, read verse 43 through 54. And this is the second miracle that John wrote about. There were seven miracles. What about the number seven? What does it mean? Perfection. Completion. We know that he wrote about seven miracles here so that people would get to know who Christ was and what he could do. So here he wrote about this man. He was desperate. His son was dying. So he came to Jesus. And Jesus had just met the woman at the well there, and she had gone back and told everybody what he had told her. And she was excited. She said, surely this is the Messiah. She was excited because she had met Christ. But here the official came to her. And I thought, you know, normally when you think of someone being healed, you think of Christ touching them. You think of him being right on the spot, doing different things. And we'll quickly talk about some of those in a minute. But this is one that, this shows that Christ has power from afar off. He told the man, he said, look. He said, you know what another thing about what miracles are called? Anybody can tell me what a miracle is? How many in here have had a miracle happen to you? How many in here have been saved? You've had a miracle happen to you. It's something that normally wouldn't happen. But the reason it happened is because you started looking for Christ. You wanted his help. And here this nobleman said, come down in verse 49. The nobleman said unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. Then Jesus said unto them, go thy way, thy son liveth. You see, when Jesus speaks, things happen. Things take place and you're not even there. So he went home, and as on his way home, he met some of his servants come running out to him. He says, your son is alive. Your son is well. He's doing good. And you know what he wanted to know? When did it happen? Well, he said, well, it was about the seventh hour and about this and that. He said, that's when Jesus told me. That's when Jesus said, thy son liveth. And I thought, you know, He has power over distance. He has power over the natural things in this life. But I thought here his son had been saved, that or been healed, and that's John 4, 43 to 54. That's the second one. The third one, John 5, 1 through 15. Anybody here ever been to the pool of Bethesda? What was going on at the pool of Bethesda? Every now and then, or once a year, I believe it says, the waters would be troubled. And whoever got into the pool first was healed of whatever need they had. But it talks about a man that had been there, a man that had been crippled for 38 years. 38 years. And they would bring him and lay him by the pool, and the water would be troubled. And what was his problem? He couldn't get in by himself. He was laying on a bed. He couldn't even get into the water. Even though he had faith that it would make him whole, he couldn't even get there. So one day, guess who showed up? Jesus did. Jesus showed up. And when Jesus shows up, things change. He says, what would you... And he said, and the impotent man answered him, what wilt thou behold? Wilt thou behold in verse 6? And the impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool. Do you know today that unless we point people to Jesus Christ, they'll not be saved? You know, we may think that, well, they'll eventually find the Lord. No, it's our job to point them to Jesus. He's the one that can change their lives. He's the one that can make it. He said, wilt thou behold? And he said, I have no man. And this was on a porch there. And there were, it was a place where they had gathered in Jerusalem. And they knew they could be healed if they just show up on that porch. But Jesus looked at him. 38 years. Anybody in here 38 years old? Okay. Several of you are at least 38. Tony raised his hand first, so I know he's at least 38. But I thought, you know, to imagine your life 38 years in a crippled state, unable to get into the water. He wasn't able to walk. He wasn't able to get around. And Jesus looked at him and said, "Take up thy bed and walk. Take up thy bed and walk." And he immediately rose up. He folded up his bed and was carrying it around under his arm or on his shoulder. And you know, what kind of condition do you think he was in? He was in great shape, and he was thrilled to death that he could now walk. And you know what people started doing? They started ridiculing him for one reason, and that was he was carrying his bed on the Sabbath. Now, isn't that pretty sad? But that's how the world is today. When Christ does something for somebody, when Christ saves you, what will the world say? He's lost it. He's gone crazy. What else will they say? Kip, what will they say to you after you get saved? It ain't going to last. It ain't going to last. Kip is too bad for it to last. How many years has it been, Kip? 19 years. 19 years. That's a pretty good long time for it to last, isn't it? But I thought here he was. He was thrilled to death he'd be able to walk. He was just carrying his, you know, carrying it and going around. And he was just, I would say he was probably telling everybody. And they said, "Who did this to you?" He said, "I don't know. Why are you carrying your bed on the Sabbath day?" "Because he who healed me told me to." "Who healed you?" "I don't know." When after he had healed him, he got up and he was rolling up and he turned around and Christ was gone. Christ was not there. But Christ had been there. And I thought it's so important for us to realize Christ can change our lives. He can change every situation we have. So here he is. He's been healed. So he can take care of those sicknesses, those injuries, even if you've had them for a long time. Next chapter I want to go to is chapter 6. Somebody real quickly tell me what the miracle is in chapter 6. The first one was 5,000. What does that mean to you? 5,000 men were there listening to Jesus. 5,000 men. Anybody in here ever fed 5,000? Anybody even tried to serve 5,000? When you think about it, how many were there out there serving that day? 12. 12 men served 5,000 men. But it wasn't only men, what was it? Women and children. So there could have easily have been 10,000 or more. 15,000 possibly. But what was the problem that day? Didn't have any food. Didn't see any way the money that they had would buy enough food for 15,000 people. But you know, it doesn't take a lot when Christ is in it. There was a little boy who was following Christ, and he went out that day. and he had two fishes and five barley loaves. How many pieces of food did he have? He had seven. So what could you say about that little boy's lunch? It was perfect. It was perfect for who? The little boy. It was perfect for the little boy. But what's the song say? Little is much if God is in it. He had a small lunch of seven items. And he brought them to him. And Christ began to break them. He broke the bread and he began to pass it out. And they passed it out and they passed it out. And I'd say the disciples were about to pass out. Here they'd fed all these people. And then when it was all over, what does Christ say if you're hungry for righteousness? You will be what? Filled. If you study God's word and you get excited about serving the Lord, you will be filled. Your thirst and your hunger will be taken care of. And here he is. He told the woman at the well, he said, you drink of this water and what'll happen? I'm talking about the water in the well. What would happen if she just drank of the water that was in the well? She would thirst again. But then he said, I'll give you living water. And when I give that to you, you will never thirst again. Christ will satisfy that thirst. Man and woman goes through life searching for something all the time. Something to satisfy. Always looking for something to satisfy. If you go to one restaurant to eat, you eat there and you think, yeah, it was good, but what will you do the next time? You'll go to another one, you'll say, oh, that one's okay. But what happens? You're never really satisfied. But if you come to Christ, He'll satisfy you. He'll satisfy you with two fish and five loaves of bread. He'll satisfy you today. And here, this miracle was performed. So how many people got to see the miracle at the wedding? We don't know, do we? Pam, how many would have got to see the miracle if it happened out on the lake there where we were? About 225. The nobleman, when his son was healed, how many people got to see that? We don't know. But the scripture says the servants, so it's probably a small group. But here, how many people got to see this miracle? Thousands. Thousands got to see it. So you see, John is writing so that people will understand who Christ is. And that's why he chose these miracles to record. Five of the seven miracles that are recorded in John are not recorded in the other Gospels. Five of them are not recorded. Five of them are recorded only in John. And then over in chapter 6 also, beginning at verse 16, this is a miracle that we're all aware of. The disciples had left. They'd gone over to the other side. They got mixed up in a storm. And Jesus realized they were out there and he went walking to them. What was the miracle that we read about here? How many in here have ever walked on water? I know a lot of us think we can. A lot of us try. But what happens? You sink. You sink. It's just not, what would be the word for that? It's not scientifically. It's physically impossible for us to walk on water. Why was it not physically possible for Jesus? Or why was it physically possible for Jesus to walk on water? He made it, didn't he? He created it. And it's who he is. It's who he is. Who got to witness this miracle? Disciples did. How many would that have been at this time? 12 of them. There were still 12 at this time. So he got they got to witness him walk on the water. And one of them tried it himself, didn't he? Would it have been physically possible for Peter to walk on the water? Without Christ? No. It's physically impossible for us to walk any day of our life without Christ. You say, Aaron, I get along just fine without him. No, you're not. You might think you are, but you're not getting along just fine. With the song that they sang, it takes just a little talk with Jesus. And you need to come to him because he can do all these things for you in your life. You say, well, will he do all that? He'll do what he needs to do to help you. Got two more real quickly and we'll be finished. Let's go to chapter 9, verses 1 through 12. Anybody got any idea what happened here? What'd you say, Jordan? He gave sight to the blind man. The man who was impotent how long, or was on his bed? 38 years. This is a blind man. How long had he been blind? We don't know how old he is, but blind from birth. Can you imagine being blind from birth? What would that mean, being blind from birth? What have you seen in your lifetime? You've seen nothing at all. So being blind, you have to use your other senses. You have to use your hear, and you feel. Why does a blind man take a stick with him? So he can feel where he's going. Okay? So, but he listens more intently than anyone. I thought of blind Bartimaeus. This is not who you're referring to here. But blind Bartimaeus was sitting on the road one day. And you know they told him that Jesus was coming by. And blind Bartimaeus felt like this might be his only chance. So he started to cry out, Jesus, thou son, Jesus, have mercy on me. You know, in our lifetime, that can be the best cry you ever made. Jesus, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner, and I need to be saved. Why did he come to this world? Seek and to save that which was lost. But here is a blind man, and he's sitting there by the road, and he hasn't seen anything in his lifetime. And I think this is probably, you know, they asked the question, who sinned? They always thought if you were blind or maimed or whatever, somebody in your family sinned. But what did Christ say in this situation? Did his parents sin? No. Did he sin? No. What was the purpose of him being blind? That Christ could be glorified and that men and women could see him as receive his sight. So here he is. He goes out. He takes the clay. He spits on it. And he puts it together and he puts it on the guy's eyes. He puts it on his eyes and was that it? What did he have to do? He had to go. He had to go to the pool of Siloam. You know, we call on Jesus and ask him to do something for us, but sometimes he requires us to do something. The man that was laying there and couldn't walk, what did he require him to do? Get up! Has God ever told you you need to get up? Get up and do this. Roll up your bed. And then he walked away. But here's this blind man. He said, I'm going to put this on your eyes, but I want you to do one thing. I want you to go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And he went and washed. And when he came, he He probably had to have somebody take him there. Again, we need to bring people to Jesus. We need to bring people to the church so that they can hear the word, that they might realize that Jesus is the reason for everything. Jesus is the theme of this message this morning. Jesus is the theme of the book of John. And he picked out 7 miracles to record because he wanted people to see what Jesus could do. So he washed. And it says in verse 11, he answered and said, this was, again, after he was saved, what was the big issue here? He was saved on the Sabbath. It was on the Sabbath when he received his sight. And they didn't think it was necessary for him to do it. He says, and he went on and they answered. He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay, anointed my eyes, and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and received my sight. Then said they unto him, where is he? And he said, I know not. He didn't even know where Christ had gone. But one thing he did say, I know that I was blind, but now I see. Can you imagine seeing for the first time in your life if you've been born blind? Can you imagine what he was looking at? And yet again, the people were giving him trouble because of who did it and when they did it. And in closing, so changing the water to wine. You know, I never thought about this before, but the reason might have been this. It was at a wedding. And what do you think Christ was introducing to the world at this point in time? He is the groom. And the church is the bride. And he is there. And he started his ministry out. He started this out here in John. And he said that he told them what to do. He made a dirty vessel clean. The nobleman's son, he wasn't close by. The boy wasn't there. So what did he do? He cried out. And the Lord healed his son. The man at the pool of Bethesda, he wanted to get healed, didn't he? Why couldn't he get healed? Didn't get any help. No help. Walking on the water, Jesus defied the physics of that because of who he was. And healing the man that was born blind, he gave sight. Jesus said, at one point he said, I am the light of the world. But when I go away, ye are the light of the world. You're the reason that people come to Jesus. And it's important for us to realize. And in closing, in chapter 11, a family that he dearly loved. A family that he loved. And this is Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And this is what he said. He said, I'll go later. And his sisters both said this to him, we know he'll raise again on the resurrection. We know that he will come in the resurrection. And Jesus straightened that out right then. And what did he say? I am the resurrection. In the book of John, there are 7 I ams. Telling who he is. I am the bread. I am the bread of life. Was he the bread when he fed the 5,000? He just broke it and it kept going. And then here was Lazarus. And they said, we know, what was their complaint to Christ? That's right, John. If you had been here, my brother, what? He wouldn't have even died. But Christ wasn't there. But he was not there for another reason. The same reason we talked about a while ago. That the Son might be glorified. But when Lazarus was raised from the dead, he made the resurrection come alive in all their hearts at that time. So, when you think about John, I'd like for you to read John 1 through 11 sometime. I believe, Trent, was you talking about the fella who was a Muslim that got saved? He got saved, and he read the first four books of the New Testament. Was it four times? Four times each in 1 week. See, he was hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And the more he got, the more he wanted. But when you read John, you're going to learn about Christ. The second part of John talks about his final 2 weeks. And then a good portion of it talks about the final 24 hours. So John's book is devoted to coming to know Jesus, what he did in these people's lives and what he can do in your life. And in closing, I want to read one verse. It's chapter 20 and verse 31. And this is what John wrote. It says, "And these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing you might have life through His name. There is no other name given under heaven whereby you must be saved." But Jesus gives us that life. He gives us that opportunity. If He's called you to do something this morning, stand up and do it. If he's wanting to do something in your life, stand up and submit it to the Lord and let Him take care of it. As the nobleman came that day, he couldn't do a thing about his son dying. But he knew who to take him to. And because he took him to Christ, he got to see him again. So if you're here this morning and you have a need in your life, I encourage you to come right now.
Let's all stand.
Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name, Master, Savior.
Something. We're thankful for the puppeteers and their songs and each one that's taken a part this morning. Anyone else have anything?
major thing. So if we could have that prayer as a church for our president, and also maybe have Jim come up and be anointed for Lydia, if we can, that would be an order. Maybe do that at this time.
They work hard.
Jim's going to come on behalf of Liddy. We'll anoint him on her behalf. I know not everybody agrees with everything that's said from our political realm, but if you think our president and the Congress and the Senate needs our prayers, I'd like for you to come and pray for them, because they definitely need help. So as they come right now, each one, if you would come as we begin this prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for the blessings that you have sent.
So sweet.